Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of God where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where we can enter into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We can be thankful unto Him. Bless His holy name. Yes, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight to have my daddy here. My daddy, Brother Landry, Sister Landry, and their church from Belfair, Washington. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's good to know that God is working all over the world. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in Washington. I told him the other night, last night, I said, Daddy, you went to the well-watered plains of Washington. I tried to get him to come back home, but he doesn't want to. He says, no, the Lord's got to work for me. So I appreciate what he's doing over there and what God's having him do and what God's doing all around. But today, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. For the truth that we have. Amen. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Amen. And tonight I'm going to just go ahead. Or today I'm going to just go ahead and jump right in. But I'm going to take us to Luke the 9th chapter. And starting with the first verse. Amen. And when you get it, say amen. Praise God. The Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Mighty God, we come before you today, God. We're asking you, God, that you would help us, God. Open up our ears, God. Open up our hearts, God, today to receive your word. God, we thank you, God, for your mercy and your love. We thank you for your presence, God. But right now, God, we're asking you to move right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. Amen. As I began to read this scripture, I began to look at what was going on. And what we have here is a situation where Jesus begins to preach and Jesus begins to talk to his 12 disciples. And what he tells them is he says, I want you to go out and I want you to begin to preach the gospel. I want you to go out and I want you to begin to tell people what is going on and the things that are happening and the things that are about to happen. He says, but if you go into that city and they receive you not. What I want you to do is I want you to take and I want you to shake your feet, shake the dust off of your feet, amen, as a testimony against them. Oh, hallelujah. Today I want to preach to you about the testimony in the dust. The testimony in the dust. Today we live in a world that wants to reject everything good and moral, and they struggle when deciding between what's right and what's wrong. I guess we should not be surprised, as the Bible teaches us, in the last days that they shall call good evil and evil good. Amen. Today more than ever, people are being led astray from the truth and the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And they are beginning to say that any old way will do. Anything that you think that you want to do is going to be okay. And I have finally lived long enough to see good men of God and great men of God begin to believe, and that they used to preach this gospel, they begin to believe this false idea that any old way will do. And they begin to turn turned away from the very gospel that they themselves once preached, and they are choosing to listen to fables and to stories and to false doctrines and spirits, and they reject the preaching and the teaching of the true word of God. Amen. Today, I have got to tell you, don't let your testimony in the dust testify against you. Amen. Don't let the testimony be in the dust testify against you. Amen. The prophets and the preachers have gone out, and they've sent out a warning, and they've sent out the gospel, and they're preaching the gospel to every nation, and every word they're trying to reach for somebody's soul. But amen, there are people today who are rejecting the word of God, and they are choosing to refuse to listen to the voice of God. Amen. And so don't let the testimony of the dust be that the prophets and the preachers sent out the warning and you rejected to hear the words. My God, we must hold on to truth. We must hold on to the oneness of the Godhead. We must hold on to baptism in Jesus' name. We must hold on to the infilling of the Holy Ghost through the evidence of speaking in tongues. We must hold on to apostolic worship and apostolic praise. We must hold on, because we can't allow the dust to testify against us. We cannot allow the dust to be a testimony against us. Don't let there be a testimony against you. The Bible says you are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. You're made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Don't let the testimony be against you. You've got to hold on. You've got to hold on to truth, because it's the only thing that's going to make and to get you to realize that you're safe with God. Amen, my friend. Amen. Don't let there be a testimony against you. What will that testimony be on the day when you lay down and you take your last breath? Will your testimony say that you're an overcomer? And what will that testimony say to the next generation? Will it be a testimony that you want to leave? Or will it be a testimony that testifies against you? Amen, my friend. I can teach you all day long, and I can try to convince you of everything there is to know about the word of God. But you, I cannot convict you. You must get a conviction for yourself that you'll say, I won't let the dust testify against me. I refuse to allow the dust to testify against me. There must be a desire to know about the things of God. A desire that burns so hot and so deep within us that whenever I'm around my friends and whenever I'm around my family, there is nothing I can do but begin to talk about Jesus and about the things that he's done. And I begin to testify about the testimony that Jesus left me, not the testimony that was left in the dust. Amen. Don't let the dust testify against you, because I will tell you today, there is coming a day that the dust will seek a testimony. There's coming a day that the dust will seek a testimony. In Genesis, the second chapter, and if we look at the 7th verse, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Bible teaches us that man was made from the dust of the earth, and it was God who gave the dust life. And when he breathed into the breath of life into man, amen, he became a new creature. And God said, I have made you more than the sum of your parts. Yes, you were just dust, but I breathe the breath of life into you. I have given you something new. You now have a soul. You have a spirit. You have a direct connection with God. Amen. You have a direct connection with God. And when man sinned in the garden, we know that there was a curse that came upon man and Satan. Amen. And the Bible says in the Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in the 14th verse, Amen. It says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast in the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and they and thy desire shall be in thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, thorns also, or cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. Amen. If we look back at Genesis, the third chapter and the 14th verse, we find where the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. What dust did Satan have to eat? Amen. Because of what God, or because of what Satan had done, amen, God had said to Satan, you will live the rest of your days with a testimony against you. Amen. The testimony that you will eat every day of your life is going to be found in the book of life. And you are a thief, and you cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come. There's a testimony that's coming up against you. I come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Satan, you're gonna have to eat the dust for the rest of your life. The dust will be a testimony against you. Amen. Satan, you will be the lowest of the low. The Bible says he'll be lower than any other creature in the field. Amen. That there is not one creature that he will not be beneath. Not one of his creations will he be over. Amen. That's God's property. Amen. That's God's. And then God looked at man, amen, with a broken heart. And he said these words in Genesis, the third chapter, in the 19th verse. He said, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. And out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. And unto the dust thou shalt return. Amen. I want to present to you today what God was saying to Adam was, because of what you have done, amen, your body will return to the dust. And there in the dust of your life will be written a testimony. Amen. But what will that testimony be? What will you be made of? Will you be made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony? Or will the testimony testify against you, saying, amen, the prophets and the preachers preached, but I shook it off and I couldn't listen? My God, help us. Help us, God, to have a testimony that is not against us. Amen. What will that testimony be? Amen. In Luke, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, we find where the word of the Lord said, and there were 70 that returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Amen. But God already knew that. He said, I'm going to make you lower than any creature. Amen. Amen. The devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen. There is a testimony. Amen. Every time somebody talks to Jesus, every time somebody steps out and says, I'm going to listen to the word of God, there is a testimony that is written in heaven. Amen. Don't rejoice because Satan and his enemy and all the enemies that rise up against you are under your feet, because that's a promise. But God is saying, rejoice because you have a testimony. Amen. Rejoice because you have a testimony written in heaven. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Then after that is the judgment. And when you stand before God, amen, what testimony will be written in the dust of your life? What testimony will be written? Amen. In the book of Genesis, there are two boys that we find. One's name was Cain, and the other's was Abel. Amen. And they were brothers. And one day they were out in the field and they were just talking with one another. But bitterness became to rise up in the heart of one. And so what he did out of an act of hatred was that he took his own brother's life. He took his own brother's life. And there are some of you today who no doubt are struggling with so much bitterness that it's changed the way you walk, it's changed the way you talk, it's changed the way you think. Amen. The smile that was once on your face and that you carried around, you no longer carry anymore. The joy that used to fill your soul, it no longer fills your soul. And what you have left is the mercy of God. And you have left the mercy of God waiting and wondering, when are you going to allow my testimony in your life? And when are you going to say, enough is enough? I cannot have a testimony written in the dust that is against me. Amen. And what you don't realize is that you've been robbed. You've been robbed because the thief, his testimony is that he comes to steal. He comes to kill and he comes to destroy. The crazy part is that you think that you're right with God. Somehow you have designed this flawed idea that God is okay with my bitterness. And God is okay with the way that I feel. My question to you today is, what testimony will be written in the dust when it's all said and done? In Genesis, the 4th chapter, the 9th verse, we find where the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said to Cain, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Cain, why are you hiding the dust on your hand when I hear the testimony of your brother? I'm not supposed to already be hearing of Abel's testimony. I'm not supposed to read this yet. But for some reason, the dust on your hands, you're hiding the blood that cries up from the ground. Why are you hiding the dust on your hands? 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning. See, some of you say, well, Brother Landry, I've never killed anybody before. I've never hurt anybody before. I've never done anything against anybody before. But the Bible says, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because of his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother, the Bible says he is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for our brother. My God, I'm asking you today, I'm extending the question, is there a testimony of love in your life? Is there a testimony of mercy in your life? Is there a testimony of forgiveness in your life? We cannot allow the testimony in the dust to testify against us. Today, in this very house, there is a battle that rages on, a choice that is yours today. God today is knocking on the hearts to raise you out of the mess that you're in, to raise you from the testimony of depression, to raise you from the testimony of heartache, to raise you from the testimony of hatred, to raise you from the testimony of a poor spirit, and to raise you out of the testimony that testifies against you. In 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, in the 7th verse, the Bible said, the Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises up the floor out of the dust. Amen. He raises you up out of the testimony that is against you. And lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set them, the world, upon them. My God, what will that testimony be? God wants to give you a new testimony. What testimony do you want? Will the dust testify against you, or will you allow God to sit you among royal priesthood, among a chosen generation? Amen. Because that's what he's wanting. He's wanting to set you among a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. He's tired of hearing the testimony that is against you, because he did not shed his blood for you to have a testimony against you. But he said, oh no, I've come that they can be saved through the blood of me. Amen. Through the blood of the Lamb and the words that are in their testimony that are going to testify for them, not against them. Amen. Today, I want to tell you, don't let your testimony testify against you. Hallelujah. Today, there is someone in this place weighing the decision, going back and forth, trying to think, what decision should I make? There's a prophet in the Bible by the name of Elijah, and I'm going to tell you what he did. In 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, in the 21st verse, the Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not. And so what he was saying today, if I can, is to interpret this in a different way, was he was saying, if depression is your God, then follow that. Amen. If pity is your God, then follow it. Amen. If money is your God, then follow that. Amen. If disobedience is your God, then follow it. Amen. If the heart is your God, then follow it. But if God be God. What testimony, amen, do you want? I'm talking to you about what testimony is going to be left in the dust of your life. Amen. But let me warn you about what the Bible says. Amen. If you're going to follow your heart, the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked and that no man knows it. You want to go ahead and follow the heart? Go ahead. But I can promise you and I can warn you that there is a testimony that's coming for you. There is a testimony that is coming. Amen. The question today is, what is it? What gods, amen, are you going to allow to be in your testimony? What gods are going to be written in the dust of your life? Amen. Some people think that if they live for God, then they will be isolated and that they'll be left alone. They'll be cast out and that nobody will be around them. And I'm going to be all alone if I live for God. Elijah said in the 18th chapter in the 22nd verse of Genesis, he said, Even I alone remain a prophet of the Lord. Sometimes the testimony is going to be that, hey, no matter what you faced, you were alone. But amen, you didn't allow the testimony to be against you. You said, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hold on. I refuse to allow the testimony to be against me, even if I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets for 450 men. And he said, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood and put fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And he called, and call ye on the name of your gods. Call on depression, call on heartache, call on all these things that you're trying to put your trust in. You call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. Amen. The names that's above every name. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered, and they said, it is well spoken. See, I want to tell you something tonight. Even a sinner knows that there must be an altar built before there can be a sacrifice. The question is today, what altars are being written in the testimony in the dust? More importantly, again, what sacrifices are being written in the testimony in the dust? Are they the testimonies that are going to testify against you? Or are they going to be the ones that set you among royal priesthood? We all know the story about how the people cried and they cut themselves. Just as in today's generation, suicide and self-mutilation is a rising trend. I work in a school district where I see kids every day who have scars across their wrists and upon their faces, because they think it's easier to deal with the pain than it is to find God. A desperate generation looking for an answer in all the wrong places. Church, what places will be written? What places will sin drive us to today that will be written in the testimony in the dust? God, please heed my warning. The dust is coming for a testimony. There comes a time when the preachers must set aside political correctness and become biblically correct and call sin, sin, and reach out for a lost and dying world. It was after some time that Elijah said, okay, that's enough. You've sacrificed long enough. Now it's time to build a real altar. If you can go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter and the 30th verse. And the Bible says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. See, after you've sacrificed enough on the altar, after you've sacrificed depression and heartache, pity, self-indulgence, there comes a time when you're going to have to rebuild the altar for God Almighty. Amen. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took the 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock into pieces, and he laid him on the wood, and he said, fill our barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And then he said, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. They just kept pouring the water. Amen. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things as thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Let me tell you what the prophet prayed that day. He said, Lord, leave them a testimony in the dust. Leave them a testimony in the dust. And let me tell you what the Lord did. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We've got to find a place with God where we build the altar and we say, the Lord, he is God. He is God. Oh, hallelujah. You need to understand, there is but one thing that can take the testimony out of your dust, and that is the fire. Amen. Amen. Matthew, the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. John was talking. Amen. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you. Amen. The Bible says with Holy Ghost and fire. With Holy Ghost and with fire. God wants you to know. He wants to leave his mark in your testimony. He wants the fire to consume the testimony that is against you. Hallelujah. I'm closing today. If I could get some help. God wants to give you a new testimony. Luke, the 9th chapter and the 5th verse. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust for a testimony against them. There was a very significant meaning that was placed on when people would say, shake off the dust that was against them. And this meaning was synonymous
or it meant the same thing as I'm washing my hands of this. And there was a man in the Bible on the eve of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And his name was Pilate. And when he looked out at the crowd and he said, I have two men here. I have one is Barabbas and one is Jesus. Choose. Who do you want me to release to you? Who do you want written in your testimony? Barabbas? Or do you want Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you something, amen. The Bible says that they cried out, oh, we want Jesus, we want Jesus. And the Bible says that Pilate released him. But Pilate began to feel something on his hands. He began to feel the dust that covered the hands that murdered Jesus, that sent Jesus to the cross. It was the sin, that the same sin that today is on my hands and your hands without God. And so he said, please bring the water so that I may wash my hands. Because I wash my hands of this. But see, there was more that was needed. You can try everything you want that's in this world. And I promise you today. Amen. If you can begin to pray right now. Amen. Because someone in this house today needs to realize that there is something on your hands. And there is something, that there is a testimony, that the dust is on your hands. And God is saying, I want to wash you. Amen. Amen. When Pilate saw that that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, and he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of his blood. Amen. The just of this just person. When Pilate was asked, you realize there was dust, there was a testimony against him. There's nothing. Amen. If you could stand with me right now, stand with me right now. I want you to begin to lift your hands. Amen. Because God wants to give you a different testimony this morning. God wants to wash you. Amen. There was another lady in the Word of God, and they brought her before Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says she was an adulteress, and that they brought her before Jesus, and they threw her down.
This washed me.
And when they said, are you going to crucify her? Are you going to stone her?
I am clean.
Jesus stepped down in the dirt and he began to rewrite in the dust her life. He began to say, no, there is not going to be a testimony against her, because I'm going to rewrite her wrong.
I am clean.
Amen. You are welcome this morning to come up to this altar. If you could, you are invited, because God wants to move the dust of the testimony against you. Hallelujah.
I am clean.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Oh, there's nothing to
do. Don't let this moment slip away.
That you can make worthy.
Don't let this day be a testimony against you.
You wash me in mercy. Oh, I am.
Hallelujah.
Clean. There's nothing to do.
God, help us, Lord.
That you can make worthy.
Oh, hallelujah.
You wash me in mercy.
Amen.
Oh, I am
clean. God wants to be.